This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Well, today we begin a series called How to Get Through What You're Going Through. In this study, Pastor Rick and Kay Warren share biblical wisdom and their life experiences to help you find God's path to peace in even the most difficult seasons of life. First, if you or someone you know needs some powerful Bible-based encouragement, then stay with us, because in a few minutes we're going to tell you about the Journey Toward Hope guided Bible study. It's full of encouraging Bible verses, exercises, and journaling pages to help you draw close to God and renew your sense of hope. You can find out more by going to PastorRick.com while you listen to today's message, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com, or just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part one of a message called How to Get Through What You're Going Through.
I'm not a prophet. And I'm certainly not a psychic. I don't even believe in psychics. Nobody can predict the future. If somebody's trying to predict the future and they're taking your money, you're getting ripped off. Because nobody, the Bible says, knows the future. Nobody knows it. But I do know this. In the next 365 days, some of them are going to be tough for you. You're going to go through some difficult days. You're going to go through some tough times. You're going to go through some rogue winds, some trials, troubles, tribulations. You're going to go through some problems and pressures and stress in your life. In fact, I can guarantee it. Why? Because the world is broken. We've talked about this many times. Nothing on the earth works perfectly. Once sin entered the world is in rebellion against God. You are in rebellion against God. I'm in rebellion against God. You say, no, I'm not. Oh, yeah, you are. Every day you get up and decide what you want to do, not what God wants you to do. And almost on a daily basis, you go, I know what God says to do, but I'm going to do this instead. That's called rebellion. That's called sin. And that broke everything in the planet. So nothing works perfectly. The weather doesn't work perfectly. The economy doesn't work perfectly. Your body doesn't work perfectly. Your relationships, your marriage, your friendship doesn't work perfectly. None of your dreams happen exactly as you planned them to be. Nothing on this planet is perfect because everything is broken. This is earth, not heaven. Everything works right in heaven. Nothing works correctly all the time on earth. Probably the question I'm asked more often than any other question is, Rick, why is there evil in the world? Why is there suffering in the world? Why is there pain in the world? Why are there so many problems in the world? Why does God allow evil and all the pain that comes from it in the world? Well, it's not really that hard a question to answer. It's because God has given you a free choice. And God has given all of us a free will. And because of that, we make stupid choices. You do, I do, and other people do. And that causes pain and that causes hurt. And as a result, everything is broken. Now, God could get rid of all the evil in the world instantly by just taking you out of it. And me too. And everybody else. Because none of us do right all the time. We all have our own brand of self-centeredness. I do, and you do. We all have our own brand. You have hurt people sometimes intentionally and sometimes unintentionally. And that causes pain. And you have been hurt by others, sometimes intentionally, sometimes unintentionally. Now, God could get rid of all the suffering, all the sorrow, all the sadness, all the brokenness by just taking away man's free will. He could have made us puppets. He could have made us where you don't even have a choice. But God allows you to reject him. God allows you to go your own way. God allows you to disobey. You don't have to love God. In fact, most people in the world don't. And as a result, there are consequences of that. Why does God allow free choice? Because he wants a race of tested individuals in his family who choose to love him, and love is a choice. I can't say that I truly love you unless I have the choice to not love you. If I'm forced to love you, it's not love. If God forces us to do the right thing, if God forces us to love him, forces us to worship, it's not love, it's not honor, it's being forced to do it. God could have made you where you had no choice at all, and you prayed 10 times a day, and you always did the right thing, and you never lied, never exaggerated, never got jealous, never had envious, never stressed out, never worried. He could have done that. And then there would be no problems in the world. But the reason why there are sin and suffering and sorrow is because of the choices that people have made. You see, if I overeat and I don't exercise and I get under stress and I have a heart attack, I can't say and die. I can't say, hey, what was God doing? Why did God kill me? Or Kay can't say, why did God kill my husband? God didn't kill my husband. I killed me with a fork. And if I go out here and I get drunk and I'm driving down the freeway and I run into a car with a woman who's pregnant with a child and she dies and the baby inside her dies, that wasn't, well, it must have been God's will. No, that was my will. I am so tired of people attributing evil to God. Somebody gets molested. Somebody gets beat up. Somebody, a war gets started. Well, it must be God's will. Are you kidding me? God's will is almost never done on this earth. Why? Because we have a will. That's why we are commanded to pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why? Because in heaven, God's will is done perfectly, and on earth, it's almost never done. For somebody who says, well, everything that happens is God's will. Well, God allows it, yes, but what is God doing? He's grieving. When a woman or a man gets raped and a little child gets molested, was that God's will? Of course not. God is not the author of evil, but God has allowed the freedom of choice. One day, the Bible says God is going to settle the score. One day, God is going to even the odds. One day, the books are going to be balanced. There is going to be eternal judgment and there is going to be eternal reward. No doubt about it. There will be a judgment day. In the meantime, we're living on a broken planet. And that's why I can guarantee you're going to have problems. Now, one of the things I love about the Bible is that the Bible always tells the truth. Any other book will have exaggerations in it, will lie to you. You know, you read biographies of guys that are written by their friends, and they gloss over all the bad parts. The Bible, when it talks about people, shows them warts and all. It always tells the truth. And what tells us that Abraham was a great man of God, it also tells us all his weaknesses. When it tells us that David was a great man of God, it also tells us all his weaknesses. In the passage we're going to look at today, 2 Corinthians 1, Paul, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived next to Jesus himself, talks about when he went through the slough of depression. When he was so depressed, he despaired of life itself. He said, you're kidding me. I am not kidding you. That Paul was so honest, he talked about, he said, one time I was so depressed, I was so discouraged, I was ready to give up. I was ready to throw in the towel. I was ready to kick the bucket. I was ready to say, okay, God, just kill me. I'm not going to live. I was so in much despair. Now, the good news is we can learn from that. This is a very powerful passage we're going to look at. Now, I hope you're not going through tough times right now. You may be. But you're going to need what I share with you this morning. So get out your pencil. Because this passage teaches us the six keys to getting through what you're going through when you're going through a tough time. Now, first, let's read this passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 3 to 11. It says this. Paul begins, all praise to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is the source of every mercy and the God who comforts us. Now, he's going to talk a lot about comfort because he's talking about going through tough times. He, God, comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. Now, he says, when others are troubled, we will be able to give them the same comfort that we've been given, that God has given us. You can be sure that the more we suffer for Christ, the more God will shower us with comfort through Christ. So, when we're weighed down with troubles, does that describe you today? When you're weighed down with troubles? It says, when we're weighed down for troubles, it's for your benefit and salvation. Who's he talking to? He's talking to a group of people in the city of Corinth, Greece. That's why this book is called Corinthians. It's written to the people who lived in Corinth, Greece. If he'd written to us, he would have written First Californians. But this is First Corinthians, okay? And so he says, when God comforts us, it is so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. He says, it's for your benefit and salvation. When God comforts us, we in turn can be an encouragement to you. Then you can patiently endure the same things we suffer. We're all confident that as you share in suffering, you will also share God's comfort. Now he gets a little biographical here, and he starts to tell us what's going on in his life. He says this, I think you ought to know, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble that we went through in the province of Asia. Paul's given a little biography here. He said, we were crushed. Ever felt like that? We were crushed, and we were completely overwhelmed. Ever felt like that? And we feared that we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. That's pretty bad. When you're going through a tough time and you say, I'm not even going to make it. I'm going to die in this. But, he says, as a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves, but on God, who can raise the dead. I mean, God can do anything. He can raise the dead. And he, God, did deliver us from mortal danger. And we are confident that he will continue to deliver us. He will rescue us because you people in Corinth, you are helping by praying for us. Now, as a result, many others will give thanks to God because so many people's prayers for our safety have been answered. Now, in this very powerful passage, Paul gives us, models for us, the six things you must do to get through what you're going through. Let's look at them. Number one, no matter what I'm going through, physically, relationally, financially, mentally, socially, whatever tough time I'm going through, the first thing I have to do is this. I've got to remember. Remember that God can use it for good. That's the starting point. Before I do anything else, I remember that no matter what I'm going through, God can use it for good in my life. Now, I don't have time to go into all the ways that God can use problems in your life. There are literally dozens and dozens of ways God can use problems for good in your life. And the Bible has a lot to say about this. The Bible says that God uses problems to direct us, to say, here's the way I want you to go. And God uses problems to inspect us, to see what's really inside of us, what we're made of. Like a tea bag, you put it in hot water, you know what comes out, you know what's inside it. When you squeeze a toothpaste, you know what's inside it. When the squeeze is on you, what's inside of you comes out. God uses problems to direct us and inspect us. God uses problems to correct us, say, I don't want you to go that way, I want you to go this way. God uses problems to perfect us, to make us like himself. And God uses problems to protect us, saying, I really don't want you to get hurt over there, so I'm going to allow a problem here to keep you from doing that over there. The Bible talks about how problems edify us, how problems sanctify us, how problems purify us. There are many, many good benefits of problems in your life. But in this passage, Paul mentions three. So let's just look at those three. There are three things God can do with the problems in your life. You might write these down. First, God can use it to teach me to trust him. God can use the problems I'm going through to teach me to trust him. Andre Crouch, the famous Christian singer, once wrote a song and he says, if I never had a problem, I'd never know that God could solve them. It's true. How many times have you heard me say this? You don't know God is all you need until God is all you've got. And you've lost your job and you've lost your house and you've lost your marriage or you've lost your health and all these things. And you don't know God is all you need until God is all you've got. God can use the problems I go through to teach me to trust him. Look at verse 8. We were crushed and completely overwhelmed, and we thought we would never live through it. In fact, we expected to die. But as a result, circle that, as a result. This is the first benefit of problems in my life. As a result, we learned not to rely on ourselves, but on God who can raise the dead. You know, some things we only learn through pain. It's just human nature. There's some things your parents could tell you it 100 times. Don't touch that hot stove, but it looks so cool. And you touch it and you get burned and then you never touch it again. Some things we only learn through pain. God says, I want you to learn to trust me. And so I'll allow problems that force you to make that choice. Another thing we can learn is God can use problems to give me a ministry to others. To give me a ministry to others. You say, you got to be kidding me. I'm not. Your pain often reveals God's purpose for you. How many times have you heard me say, God never wastes a hurt? If you've gone through a hurt, God doesn't want you to waste it and just hold on to it. He wants you to be able to help other people going through that same hurt. He wants you to share it. And God can use the problems in my life to give me a ministry to others. In fact, the very thing you're most ashamed of in your life, the very thing you wish had never happened, the very thing you resent the most, the very thing that's caused you the most pain, could become your greatest ministry in helping other people. Who can better help somebody going through a bankruptcy than somebody who went through a bankruptcy? Who can better help somebody losing a house than somebody who lost a house? Who can better help somebody struggling with an addiction, sexual, chemical, or whatever, than somebody who struggled with an addiction, sexual, chemical, or whatever? That's what Celebrate Recovery is all about. Who could better help parents of a special needs child than parents who raised a special needs child? Who could better help somebody who's lost a child than somebody who lost a child? Who could better help somebody who's been molested or raped? And somebody goes, I know that pain. I know that. The very thing you hate the most in your life, that God was grieving over when it happened, God wants to use it for good in your life. See, anybody can bring good out of good. But God specializes in bringing good out of bad. A lady once asked me, said, where was God when my son died? I said, he was the same place he was when his son died on the cross. He was crying. He was grieving. God looked down and saw what was happening to his son, Jesus Christ, and he was grieving. Could God have stopped it? Yes, of course he could have. But how would he have done? Taking away the free will of men. And if he did that, he needs to take away your free will and your choice. That's not fair to take away somebody else's, but not yours. God looks at the things that happen in our lives that cause us pain, and the Bible says God weeps. Did you know the only reason you have emotions is because you're created in God's image? God is an emotional God. God has feelings too. If God didn't have feelings, believe me, as a human being, you wouldn't have any feelings. But God gets happy, so you get happy. And God gets sad, so you experience sadness. And God gets angry, so you get angry. God gets jealous when he sees people rejecting him for something. So that's why you have jealousy. The reason you have emotions is because God is an emotional God and he created you in his image. And when you're being in pain, believe me, God is in pain with you. He is weeping and he's crying. But God can give you a ministry to others. The things in your life that pain are painful, God wants to use for good to help others. Look at these verses. 1 Corinthians 1:4. God comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort others. Look at verse 6. When we're weighed down with troubles, it's for your benefit. In other words, when I'm going through my problem, it's really for your benefit and salvation. When God comforts us, it's so that we in turn can be an encouragement to you. Then you could patiently endure the same thing. Now, friends, this is called redemptive suffering. Redemptive suffering is when you go through a problem and a pain for the benefit of others. This is what Jesus did. When Jesus died on the cross, he didn't deserve to die, and he went through that pain redemptively for your benefit, so you could be saved, so you could go to heaven, so I could go to heaven for redemption. Any mother who's had a baby has gone through redemptive suffering. They don't call it labor for nothing. And when a woman is going through the pains of labor, she's not doing that for her benefit. She's doing it for the benefit of that baby. That's redemptive suffering. You see, there are many different problems for the causes for the problems, pain, and suffering in your life. Sometimes, in fact, a lot, most of the stuff that happens, I bring on myself. When I make stupid decisions, then it causes pain in my life. If I go out and I overspend and I buy things I can't afford and I get a house that I can't afford and I presume on the future and then I go deeply in debt and I lose my house, I can't say, God, why'd you let me lose my house? I brought that on myself. I can't blame God for my decisions that I overspent and put way too much money on the credit card. That was my choice. God had nothing to do with it. So some of the problems I bring on myself. Some of the problems I'm innocent. Some of the problems you're innocent with, and you're hurt by the pain, the stupidity, the wrong decisions, the sins of other people, and you're hurt by other sins. But some of the pain, some of the problems in your life is for redemptive suffering, for the benefit of other people. And God allows you to go through a problem so then you can help others. It's the third thing I can remember, that God can use it, not only to teach me to draw close to him, to trust him, to give me a ministry, but God can use it to draw me closer to other believers. Now, this is a big deal, to draw me closer to other believers. God wired the human being for community. You were wired for relationships. You weren't meant to go through life all alone. Whether you ever get married or not is irrelevant, but you need people in your life, and you need a spiritual family. That's why you need a church. We're a spiritual family, and you need close relationships, and you need friendships. In fact, the very first thing God said was not good about the earth. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. Did you know that God hates loneliness? Hates it. God hates loneliness. God is a God of love. Love means you have to have relationships. God is in relationship to himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. God is a relational God, and he made you to have relationships. Now, here's the problem. We get so busy with activities and achievements and accomplishments, we don't have time for relationships. And so we skim. We're pretty independent-minded. We go, I don't need anybody. I got it on the go. I got it all together. Until we get in a problem. And pain humbles us. And pain helps us realize we need support, that we were made for each other, that we're better together. And pain draws us closer. It moves us to accept support. And then all of a sudden, you ask other people for prayer because you're in so much pain. Paul says this in verse 11, he will rescue us. I'm going through this depressing time because you are helping out by praying for us. And as a result, many others will give thanks to God because so many people's prayers for our safety have been answered. Pain reveals how much we need each other.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so happy you've chosen to study along with us today. If you'd like to receive Rick's free daily devotional, go to PastorRick.com and sign up right now. You'll get hope and encouragement from Pastor Rick delivered to your inbox every day. Rick will be back to close out our time today, but first, life can sometimes be challenging, isolating, and painful. Do you or someone you know need a powerful encouragement right now? Then let me tell you about The Journey Toward Hope. This guided Bible study book takes you on a journey to discover the five truths about who you are. You are loved. You have a purpose. You belong. You have a choice. And you are needed. This full-color vegan leather study tool is filled with scriptures, prayers, exercises, spaces to journal, and personal stories to help you uncover the hidden reasons you may lose hope and teach you how to maintain and bolster that hope for a lifetime. We'll send you your very own copy of Journey Toward Hope when you give a gift today to Daily Hope to take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world. Just go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy. Or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Here's Pastor Rick with a letter from one of our listeners.
Today I want to share with you a letter from Debbie that really, truly touched my heart. She wrote, "Pastor Rick, I'm not sure how many times I've thought about emailing you, but I didn't. I'm not sure why, but today I listened to your Daily Hope message on facing giants in life and work, and I knew that I needed to say thank you. My story started when my husband of almost 24 years died suddenly at our home of a blood clot. He was just 49 years old. My daughter was the one who called 911, and life just seemed to stop. We were in shock after that death. At the funeral, my brother told me about your message series, How to Get Through What You're Going Through. So I listened, and I held on to those words and what Kay had spoken, not knowing how significant they would become. My own son had been struggling with what we now think was undiagnosed bipolar disorder. He'd been struggling for about 3 years, and 11 weeks after my husband died, he took his life. Life stopped again. I have an incredible family and a group of friends, and they, along with my faith, got me and my daughter through things I never thought I could live through. But the resource that I kept turning to and listening to over and over again was your series, How to Get Through What You're Going Through When You Lost Your Son. You and Kay truly understood how I felt and how I still feel. We're part of a club that nobody wants to be a member of. Rick, I've learned so many things through this journey of grief, but the most important is that God keeps his promises, and he does bring beauty out of ashes. So I want to thank you and Kay from the bottom of my heart for sharing your story and not wasting your pain. Even though we've never met, I feel as though we're friends. Well, we are. And I ask God daily to help me use my pain to help others. I still struggle some days with guilt and grief, but I know that God is faithful with me every step of the journey. With a thankful heart, Debbie." Well, Debbie, my dear sister, this touched me, obviously, your message. And as somebody who's walked in your shoes having lost a son, I can tell you without a doubt that God is faithful. And I just want to say that I'm so proud of you, that God does not want us to waste our hurts. Never waste a hurt. You're going to go through the pain, so you may as well use it to help other people. And in 2 Corinthians 1, the Bible says God takes us through problems and comforts us so we can then comfort others with the same comfort we've been given. And that's the motivation behind everything we do at Daily Hope. Friends, if you can give a gift to help Daily Hope, you can help people like Debbie, who's walking through the grief of having lost a husband and a son, but found new hope through this broadcast, which shares the message of Jesus. You who gave helped Debbie find healing, and you who gave have helped thousands and thousands of other people find hope and healing in Christ because of your gift. So thank you for your gifts today. God bless you.
If you'd like to let Rick know how this broadcast has blessed you, please feel free to send him an email at rick@pastorrick.com. That's rick@pastorrick.com. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.